due to the many repeated problems we've had with ID mapping, configuration of ID mapping in Samba. And it's been 2 years ago now at Samba XP, I gave a talk with the title ID Mapping Revisited. So I just noticed it's been 2 years. So let's see what news I can give you today. Let's start with a small history of the ID mapping in Samba, in Samba 3, that is. So, traditionally, what is ID mapping? Just very briefly, it is the mapping that has to be there between Windows users, the Windows SIDs, and Unix IDs. When Windows users are accessing the Samba server, they at some point need to access the file system, and then they need a Unix ID, right? So we need to associate Unix IDs to the Windows SIDs. And this is what ID mapping is about in Samba. Up to Samba 3.0.24, there was a very simple configuration, just a single parameter, basically, the ID map backend that could be configured and a range specified for UIDs and GIDs. There was one standard implementation, which was just a small ID mapping database, and this database had a counter or a counter for user and group, two counters, that is, and they were just increased as users logged into the server. So the next user that hadn't been mapped yet got the next free ID and so on. This was written in the database, and this was the very simple basic ID mapping. Then some more backends were added. This was all before 3.0.24. There was a RID backend, but it was just an algorithm. You just specify a range for Unix IDs. You take the RID, that is the last block of digits from the SID, and add it to the lower number of the range, and you get an ID within that range. So it was a very simple thing, but of course this works just for a single domain. Then there were some special hacks added to enable multiple domains. So in this one ID map backend parameter, there was squeezed a whole bunch of configuration options, actually. So, and this was the state when then we had LDAP backend and so forth. But this was very limited. It was impossible or at least very difficult to configure several domains differently. But from the users, there somehow was the need to do that. And then in roughly 2006, 2007, this was released in 3.0.25. There was Simo did a big rewrite. He, I think at that time, together with Jerry, designed and engineered the new system. Which allowed for to configure several trusted domains differently. For instance, allowing to use the SFU, the services for Unix and Windows ID domain controllers, to get the Unix ID information from there for one domain, use TDB for another, or LDAP, RID for a third domain, and so on. So there was a very conceptual design behind that. Everything was greatly extended. We had a new parameter, ID map domains, which specified which domains should be handled by ID mapping. There was a separate configuration for allocating Unix IDs, which would be then used by the backend like TDB or LDAP, the ID map backend. But the overall impression was that this was pretty complicated. The thing that enhanced this impression was, to my understanding, mostly also the appearance of the allocation config on the surface. So the configuration was slightly bloated. Also the WinBind API and the ID mapping API was slightly bloated. I will show you the very small extracts of that code soon. And there was one thing, one design decision which later on got criticized, which is that there was just one single allocator that could be configured, and it was separate from the ID map, the creation of ID mappings. So I will just very briefly go on, and I want my plan is to afterwards just show you with just a live demonstration that hopefully will work out nicely, that the various Semba versions, how ID mapping was configured, and some of what worked and some of what was a little clumsy, and what was improved in the various rewrites. So it was, I mean, don't get me wrong, Simo did go through a lot of pain, and he documented a lot of his stuff, even wrote design documents and everything. And I think it was slightly before I really entered the Semba community, but this was also discussed here at Semba XP or at Storage Developers Conference, whatever. But anyhow, the experience was that it was very difficult for the users to get it right. When once they migrated from the old Semba version, there were lots and lots of questions on the mailing list on IRC, and then, well, roughly a year and a half later, Volker Lennicke did a smaller rewrite, let's say, which was actually a simplification, which reduced the complexity of the configuration slightly. This was somehow driven by the fact that even the Semba developers had problems getting it right easily. And so the feeling was something's wrong here. This needs to be simplified. Some of the configuration options were removed, notably the IDMap domains and the original IDMap backend and UID GID options that were actually deprecated in this rewrite were reestablished here to substitute the default configuration that was somehow, or one could argue, added artificially on that configuration. I will show you examples of configuration soon. This rewrite then actually showed to me when I went into it, and there were still unclarities about how to configure this afterwards. And of course, such a sequence of rewrites and again rewrite doesn't help on improving improving the situation. But what turned out was the following thing. One problem here. There was this ID map allocator that could be configured in order for the backend to be able to create ID mappings itself, in contrast to the read-only backends like RID, which doesn't need to write a database, or like AD, which just reads the Unix attributes from Active Directory. The allocating backends, what is implicitly here and more explicitly here, there should be just one IDMap domain configured to be writable using the allocator, and this should be the so-called default IDMap configuration. So this is became more apparent here, but still this seemed a little artificial, and there were frequent questions on the mailing lists. And so it was in late 2008, early 2009 when I just started. I looked at the code, I found stuff that I thought could be improved, and coming from mathematics, I thought, well, we could make an abstraction. I wanted to have the layering right, and I started to working on a rewrite which removed the limitation of having just one allocator, and on the other hand, orthogonally, also removed the separation of the allocation and creation of ID maps. I wanted to have the requests and the creation of ID maps to be an atomic operation. Just say, give me an ID mapping for this SID, and then either I get one or I don't. But I don't need to ask the allocator and then go and store the mapping. So I wanted to have this as an atomic operation. I gave a talk at that conference. This was, I had begun to rewrite the code, I wanted to remove the whole alloc system from the suffers and put it beneath the ID map code, but the thing stalled because firstly there was one technical problem that I hadn't been aware of before, and secondly because I simply didn't have the time to think about how to properly fix this. Then sometime roughly a year later, last year, I at first got an idea how to pursue this, and I got the opportunity to work on it for a while. And this was completed actually a couple of months ago, went into master and will be released in 3.6.0. So it's in. And this rewrite is basically, in the first stage, it doesn't change the configuration at all, or hardly at all. But then there were more discussions with some colleagues, and there were some bugs on Bugzilla that showed that it's really irritating to have this old parameter, IDMAP backend, which is still there, but is so it creates an impression that there's a backwards compatibility, but this is deceiving. It was not really a backwards compatibility. In some cases, in some easy cases, yes. But for instance, in that old setup, you could use the IDMAP backend RID and still get allocated. You could allocate IDs, for instance, when you wanted to create some group mappings. This worked. So in the starting from here, you couldn't use some. You could configure the RID backend as the default backend for ID mapping, but many other things wouldn't work anymore. So then we came up with the idea: it's so deceiving that we probably should change the configuration of ID mapping, hopefully for the last time, of course. So what I added not too long ago was, a small change to the code, which sums up to the configuration being completely systematic now, and the old configuration options still work. They are again marked as deprecated, and now we have a different set of configuration options only for the default config. So the default config now looks precisely like the per domain config. All this will be less abstract in a couple of minutes when I show you what I mean. But this is the small history of what I perceived about ID mapping in Samba 3. And so what is about to be released, I will be presenting in the sequel of this talk. And I really hope that this will be clearer and there won't be too many complaints. And should I promise that I won't change the configuration of ID mapping anymore personally in Samba? Maybe. Yes, so. So let's briefly look at. So this is a very short look at the code. The old API. This is the API basically that that Simo created. There were IDMAP methods and IDMAP alloc methods. I left out the initialization and shutdown functions here. So we had the actual mapping functions, Unix IDs to SITs, SITs to Unix IDs. And we have set mapping and remove mapping and some extra dump data that we can ignore here. So these were the operations for writing and a mapping, and the input was a SIT and a given Unix ID. For producing Unix ID, you asked the IDMAP alloc methods. You could get and set the high watermark. This is the counter, and you had the ID. And all of these methods were published in the WinMine protocol. You see, you had these. And the funny thing is, the IDMAP API. Oops, sorry. Wrong key. The IDMAP methods, Unix IDs to SITs and vice versa, were plural, and the WinMine methods were singular. So the IDMAP itself was prepared to just convert multiple SITs in a row, atomically, maybe, but the WinBind itself just spoke singular. Then we had the set mapping, remove mapping, allocate UID, allocate GID, and set high watermark functions. So my feeling here was that somehow the whole layering was meshed up, like some things were on the same level that didn't belong there. I would have liked to see only SITS to Unix ID, Unix ID to SITS in the WinBind protocol, and all the other stuff under the hood. So this is what I've also told 2 years ago, and what has come out of it now is this new API. We have only dmap SITS to Unix IDs, Unix IDs to SITS, and we still have allocate ID. I have removed the IDMAP alloc methods. I have moved the allocate ID method here, and this is just a band aid because we need this IDMAP, this ID pool for two things. For the group mapping, we want to create these group mappings in Samba, and I still, I wasn't daring enough to try and remove this or change this. Might go later on, but this has no effect on the configuration currently. Secondly, for the LDAP SAM edit POSIX configuration, this also uses the ID map pool from WinBind. And the WinBind protocol itself seems pretty crowded still. We do still have the singular methods. We have the allocate method, of course, because we need to access this via WinBind. But one thing I will say a couple of words at the end of the talk is that we also have here now the plural form of SITS to Unix IDs. Well, SITS to Unix IDs is the call that is creating the mappings, right? And this is after the calls had been made atomic, ID mapping had been moved into the allocation. Our ID creation had been moved into the ID mapping code. It was possible to also teach WinBind how to allocate or create multiple mappings at once. And this usually is of a great advantage because you can for instance, when creating a token, a user token, right? The Windows user comes in and has his Windows tokens comprised of all his SITs, SIT and the group SITs of the groups he belongs to. These are converted to Unix IDs and then creates a Unix token that is used for access checking against the file system, for instance. And with this new call, all the SITs in the Unix token of the user, that all the SITs that belong to one domain, can be converted to Unix IDs with one database transaction. In the old code, it was at least two transactions per ID. So this gives a big improvement in big environments, especially in clustered scenarios. I will say a couple of more words in the end. Okay, this is new API. A few more remarks about the changes. So the ID mappings itself, the allocation is now atomic. In cluster, this was driven by the need to speed up creation of ID mappings in cluster environments. Like when a user from a big with a big token comes along the Samba server, he had to wait for a time because all the database transactions in the cluster are especially slow. The layering is fixed now, as I said. The artificial separation of ID mapping and allocation is removed, and the code changes under the hood that I did before the configuration change really is unified a lot. If you see the diff stat of a bulk of the patch, one patch set, maybe the biggest one. There were several patch sets that I committed, but this is the biggest one. You see that it's roughly, double the same number of lines removed as have been changed or something, like more than 1,300 lines removed roughly. So there has a lot of the code has been deduplicated a lot by that. Okay, and now the configuration changes. Afterwards, I will go and show you the demos. So the alloc config was removed completely. The IDMAP alloc backend parameter was removed. The IDMAP alloc config colon something was removed. Usually we deprecate parameters, but this was removed because the code that used these parameters was removed. There simply was no point anymore in having them. The only I could imagine for this separate configuration of allocation was writing ID mappings to one database and counting the Unix ID counter in a different database. And I didn't come across the need to do this. So this is implicitly configured for each IDMAP domain configuration now. So if anyone is here desperately needs this, you can raise your hand now. We didn't yet release an RC of Semba 3.6. So, but I hope no one will. The default config, I said, changed. The IDMAP backend, UID and GID parameters have been deprecated. They still work, but deprecated. And there are new parameters. The IDMAP config star colon backend, IDMAP config star colon range. Now substitute these. Right? This is this systematic thing. We already had this with domain names. And internally, the asterisk stands for the default domain, default configuration. And I just use the same parser for the same operation. So the configuration changes have made it completely systematic, and the code underneath is also much simpler now, lot less like if-else branches, many more lines removed than have been added. Just a couple of diff sets. It's mostly deletions, but done the hard way with many patches to ensure that it still works. Okay. Okay, let me just finish the overview of the changes. As I said, multiple allocating IDMAP domains. This is new. What wasn't possible was specifying allocating IDMAP configurations other than for the default domain. This does now work. I just finished the code a couple of hours ago. I will show it later. So the default config will need to be writable, but I can specify other explicit domains with disjoint ranges, also using TDB or LDAP, whatever backend. In the course of these changes, the IDMAP dump and IDMAP restore tools, which have been there before, have been rewritten. They had to be rewritten because the restore utility used the WinBind API and fed the mappings into a running WinBind. The API is no longer available, so this has been changed to direct database access. So this now uses the DBRep API, so it's cluster aware and can be used to backup and restore TDB and TDB2 backends. There's this request. Create multiple mappings in one request. There's the new WinBind client fits to Unix IDs call. There's a front-end WB info fits to Unix IDs. You can test this and you can watch what it does. You just give it a list of sits and you will return a bunch of Unix IDs and do in as little small number of transactions as possible. And when you want to convert big Windows tokens into Unix tokens, then this is a great performance gain. This subsequent change here was done by Volker quite recently, actually. And then last, there are two new tools by my colleague Gregor Beck, who wrote an IDMAP check tool and an IDMAP delete tool. Because there was a need for at first deleting individual entries and then notifying the Semba daemons and then flushing the caches. And the IDMAP check tool is the last addition. This is very useful when you got your database corrupted somehow and you don't have a good backup that you can just replace over it. Then you can use this to interactively or automatically repair. It's like an FSTK. But just for the ID mapping database. Okay, this is actually based on ideas of a standalone tool that Twitch had hacked up I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, but this is now in net and it uses DBRep, so you can use it in cluster and non-cluster environment. Has been just added a couple of weeks ago. All right, so the to-dos for after the demo. Okay, quarter of an hour roughly. Let's demonstrate some things here. Okay. Is that big enough? Back there, can you read that? Okay, still bigger. Okay, let me see. Like this. Okay, cool. In Samba 3, it looked like this. This is the wrong. No. Wow, this is really huge. Okay. I marked the ID mapping section here. It was like this. It's Samba 3.0.24 and older is so long ago that I really had a hard time. I started off with ID map backend equals TDB and it didn't work. So I had to remove it in order to make it work. Okay, you had to specify these two ranges and nothing else, then TDB backend would be used. Just let me quickly. I will do this for a couple of installations and configurations now, if the time is sufficient. Cache, that's okay. Starting WinBind. WinBind is joined to the domain. You can list users. You see that I have two domains here, and one Windows 2008, one Windows 2003, which is the main domain. This is a trusted domain. And when I just use username like this, administrator, for instance, and for the other domain as well, you see it takes a little longer. Takes too long. Okay. Why does it take too long? Could not look up. This is bad. What is it doing? Wait. This machine is running. This machine is running as well. Okay. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Again. There it is. Something was wrong. Okay, I have two SIDs here now. I should somehow. Do this, maybe. I have two. Two SIDs. One for the administrator of one domain, one for the administrator of the other domain. I can convert these with ID mapping to Unix IDs. This was our own domain, and this is the trusted domain, so you see the counter just increases. It's in the same range. It's in the default range, and no matter how many domains I have here, they will be all of these users or groups will be landing in the same range, so there's no separation here. I can now... this is the simple sort of configuration that worked all the time. Let me just... copy the rich configuration There was this example with the RIT backend I mentioned. This was really, in order to make this work, you had to compile Samba with certain configure flags enabled. Otherwise, it would refuse using the RIT backend when there are were any trusted domains. But this way, you could specify sub-ranges of the overall range, one range for each domain, because with the RIT backend, the algorithm is the same, so it's important that they have disjoint ranges. And because the time is running a little, I won't show that this really worked. And I will skip to the next. I also won't show an LDAP-based setup because it's more complicated, although it's quite interesting and used in quite a lot of installations. So let me move this to the background and move over to, where is it? Here. Samba 3.2. So enough. This is good. Okay. What is the default? No, I'm copying. No. Basic. Okay. What is this? Why doesn't this work? Ah, because this works. So I'm starting WinBind, and I have also joined this already. So the config is this. It's the way to configure in the non-backward compatible way. The default range was this. So this was the, oh no, the minimal way in Samba 3.2 to achieve the same effect as the configuration I just showed you in Samba 3.0.24 with the new configuration scheme. You had to provide IDMAP domains. And this is, well, there was no asterisk special meaning, so you had to invent a name that hopefully would never be a real domain name. You would add the default to the config, IDMAP config domain name colon default equals yes, so to say, okay, this should catch any domain that comes by and is not explicitly configured. And then you had to specify the IDMAP alloc backend and IDMAP alloc config range, which should be a sub range at least of this range here. So this was the minimal configuration to achieve the same thing. Unless you use the deprecated old options, IDMAP backend, IDMAP UID, IDMAP GID. Okay. But now, caps lock. In order to save some time, I will just copy. My grid. Over this, I kill. I start it again. And I show you what's in there now. I have extended this by more domains. So the benefit of this new system was this. You could specify other explicit domains with different backends than and different ranges. So the ranges of all the configurations should be disjoint. You see, it's they don't overlap. One, the default backend could use the alloc configurator, and you could. I have also not used the services for Unix here, so I could have specified IDMAP backend AD, for instance, for this domain if I had extended the schema on the domain controller and provided Unix IDs there. So this was the added flexibility, and let me just briefly demonstrate this to you. So I forgot to say in the beginning of the talk, please interrupt me at any time. It's almost over, but ask any inconvenient questions or convenient questions you like, but otherwise I will just continue. Okay. The name. Oh, name. Built in. The one domain. Ah, this is really slow. I don't know.
DNS.
No, it's not DNS. I'm using security domain and WinBind RPC only equals yes. So I don't need DNS. Hopefully, but it did work out in the end. Okay, we have these. Let me check. I'm resolving this. You see, this is in the 300,000 range. And this is in the 200,000 range, right? The configuration that I just showed you worked. This was the our own domain, and this is the trusted domain here, right? Okay. So this worked with 3.2. I will, due to the time running much faster as ever here in the talk, I will skip the 3.3 simplification. This basically removes all this and replaces it by IDMAP backend equals TDB, IDMAP UID GID as before, and then simply going on with that. It also removes the need to explicitly configure the allocator. It even removes the IDMAP alloc range, config range parameter, because this was defaulting to the catch-all range anyways. So you could really just get off with, and the default, the IDMAP alloc backend also was configured to default to the same as the IDMAP backend. So the configuration was trimmed down considerably and made it a little more simple. Yes, Kai?
Just out of interest, with this setup, with the current setup we have here, if the catch-all range and the config range for the alloc backend, if they don't overlap, what bad
then
things
you will create an ID. You will, I think, even create a mapping. But when you retrieve the mapping, it will be mapped out.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah,
thanks.
So, but I'm not sure. At latest, when you fetch the mapping, it will be mapped away. So this is a filter range for retrieving mappings, and this is a map range where you create where the counter starts and so on. Okay, now let's finish this. I skipped the 3.3 and let's move to 3.6. I've just got like 5 minutes or so. Let me show this final thing. Okay. Aha, let's move to the root shell. Export. I should have thought of this earlier. Okay. So now, I'm going to show the final example right away. LDAP, I'm skipping. So this is the basic example. I also mentioned on the slides, the default config is by default, by standard now configured like this. Then I have the... Yes. It's almost same. Thank you, Jeremy. But I somehow didn't hear the almost.
Yes, that's almost same compared to what we had. The only thing is, can you go back to the 3.6 example?
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's just not the basic one.
Can you make the default backend TDB so you
it is.
Only... Okay, so you actually don't need...
Yeah, look at this.
What can you dispense with? Because what I'm thinking is, what will work out of the box without anyone having to do anything?
You will be able to do the same thing as in Samba 3.5. You can just say IDMAP UID and IDMAP GID and nothing else. It will still
okay.
work, but it will say, oh, these options are deprecated. Or you will be able to just use this line, and this is sufficient. The range. So the backend defaults to TDB as before.
Right. I'm just wondering whether you can, because I'm just wondering whether you can have it simplify it rather than IDE config star colon. I mean, is there just a simpler way of expressing the same thing for people who say, look, I just want IDE mapping to work. I don't care how many domains I have. Just make it work.
Yeah. Okay, so let me just... So one thing I'm going to show you is the following. Ah, this is not it. Wrong. This is it. It also configures three domains. The default configuration for the Windows 2003 and 2008 domain, the new thing is that we have TDB here in all these domains with disjoint ranges, which was not possible before. So I...
What does the star mean at the end of the WinterK8, Dom?
At the... What? Oh, it is just a typo.
Ah, okay.
Thank you.
That wouldn't have worked, and you would have wondered why.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks a lot. That's great. Okay, so now... so... So the trust is established. I can even enhance the font. The trust is established. I'm going to get some name here and some other name here, and I'm going to map these sits to IDs when I get the sit. Okay. Okay, this is the 2008 SID, it's in the 300,000 range, and this is the other SID, and it is in the 200,000 range, right? So this is something, because I hit the allocator underneath the ID mapping API, each domain could have its own allocator, and then just let me show you TDB dump, the ID map TDB. The new keys are just these here, high watermark keys for each domain, right? And this is actually the only new addition to the database, and apart from that, the mapping entries are the same. So this is it about my demos, and let me just very briefly show you last slide with the changes, with the to-dos. So there can be some more internal code cleanup, of course, there always can, but I think the configuration is good. But especially the LDAP backend, I didn't demonstrate now, it can, this especially some cleanup and some handling of the secrets for the LDAP server. One could make this is a slightly hacky IDMap script option, which allows to retrieve mappings from an external command. This could be, made a module of its own, but this is a whole different topic. So, and I need to update the documentation. I promise this will be soon done. So,
Michael, being as this is a blocker for 3.6 shipping,
yes.
The second item, clean up the option parsing and update the documentation, just do those and then we can ship.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, right, it's your fault.
Yeah.
Just pointing that out. So okay. Do those and then we'll ship.
But I hope that after this has been done, I hope that everything is nice and peaceful, yin-yang, everything. Yeah, so...
It looks wonderful. Why are you talking? Go code.
Yeah. Okay, so I don't know if we have time for one or two questions.
I think we do have time for a question or two. Thank you, Michael.
Yeah.
Are there questions? Yes, sure.
Can you tell a bit how this ID mapping works? So is the first ID always mapped to the first user ID in the range, or is it some more deterministic?
It depends on the back end.
Okay.
RID, for instance, is completely deterministic in that it's just an algorithm. Cut the RID of the SID of Windows and add it to an offset. Right. The default TDB backend is just a counter that is increased, and the first user that logs into the machine and gets its token created will get the first Unix ID, which will be then incremented. The next user gets the next one, and so on and so forth. So the TDB and also the LDAP backend are just incremented counters, and AD is, for instance, just reading from the Active Directory Domain Controller Unix extensions, which there also is just an increasing counter, and so on. Right?
Okay, so now that we have this, so we have a unique range for user IDs and group IDs to be allocated from. So we can be guaranteed that we don't have a group ID allocated that happens to be the same number as a user ID that we already allocated, right? Because you're using the same high watermark? You're not doing that?
Just,
Why are you not doing that?
I didn't change the format of the TDB file. Okay. Just there was the assumption that these ranges, because they're filtering ranges and so on, and for RID, for instance, it didn't work if the ranges weren't the same. So, and if the ranges were not the same, the intersection was built in the code already. So actually, it was just one range. But in the database, there are still two ranges. I didn't change that. I just changed the level above that.
Is there a good reason for not changing it?
Well, yes. I mean, for me, there was the good reason.
It's more work.
I didn't want to break the existing databases.
Okay, fair enough.
I would have to code it an upgrade path. But this is under the hood. We could do this still. You're talking about this. We have to integrate with SEM. Before, I didn't mention our 4.0 goal we are pursuing. And SEM 4 always creates mappings for both. So there's one counter and mappings for UID and GID. But we will need to sit down and really discuss how to go forward in that direction. But I didn't want to break the more than necessary the setups.
Makes sense.
There.
Fair enough.
Okay. Any more questions? If not, I'd like to thank you.
And I'd like to thank you very much. And thank you all for discussion, for your interest. The next part of the conference is the party at 6:30 at the Marketplace in Göttingen, Bulayan. There will be a bus going from here at 6 o'clock. And tomorrow there will be two parallel tracks running, and it starts off at 9 o'clock, an hour earlier than today. So I hope you all get to the Bulayan well, and see you later.